Next case, Dong versus Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Yes, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you. May it please the Court, this case turns on the very simple question of whether or not the BIA abuses its discretion when it fails to give the proper and adequate consideration to all evidence and all arguments presented by an alien in a motion to reopen. The BIA was very thorough in its analysis of Ms. Dong's ineffective assistance of counsel claim, but in a few summary sentences rejected her argument regarding a change of country conditions in China without considering the evidence presented, and relied erroneously on case law arising outside of this circuit, when this court has stated admittedly in dicta in the Bao Hua Li case that particularly the affidavit by Dr. Aird does deserve consideration where it was previously unavailable at the alien's prior proceedings. And in this case, and so while I concede that, of course, dicta is not binding on the BIA, in the battle of merely persuasive authority, the language of this court simply must hold sway over the decision of a sister circuit, when indeed that circuit's case law would seem to have been somewhat amended, and the Second Circuit has itself turned away from the blanket statement that no alien with children born in the United States could reasonably fear persecution if removed to China under that country's coercive population control program. In this case, the BIA makes no mention of Dr. Aird's affidavit, no mention of his testimony, where he noted that the recent implementation, the then recent enactment, rather, of the China's first national family planning law would give rise to an increase of forced sterilizations and abortions, because the law does not outlaw the use of force, but merely makes a vague declaration that rights will be protected, but never states what those rights are. And indeed, Ms. Dong also submitted an affidavit from her parents, or a statement at least, which indicates not a continuation of conditions in China, but rather a worsening, that ever since that law had been implemented in her village, forced sterilizations and abortions were on the rise.
But isn't the big problem here that the petitioner wants to reopen the case due to changed circumstances, but these changed circumstances really have to do with her situation?
It is true, Your Honor, that as noted in her brief and in Ms. Song's motion to reopen, that the births of her children here in the United States is relevant to her fear of persecution, but the reason she seeks reopening, because as the statute states, 8 U.S.C. 1229A states, a motion to reopen is not bound by time and numerical limitations when an alien seeks to pursue a new asylum claim based on changes arising in China. The changes arising in China were that increase of forced abortions and sterilizations. Now, Ms. Dong may or may not have had a reasonable fear of persecution prior to the birth of her second child. However, it was because of the increase in these forcible procedures in China that Ms. Dong became fearful that her removal would actually result in the her husband being forcibly sterilized upon their return to China, because prior to the implementation of the PFPL in Ms. Dong's hometown, at the very least, there is nothing in the record to indicate that these forced procedures were occurring on the scale that they are now.
And what evidence did she put in the record to support her assertion that, you know, things had worsened or that local authorities were enforcing?
There was the statement from her parents noting the letter from her parents noting the increase and noting particular instances of a person similarly situated to the petitioner who had been forcibly sterilized in recent months, as well as and also the evidence, particularly say the testimony and affidavit of Dr. Aird, which noted that China says one thing then does something different when it comes to the enforcement of its one-child rule. And Dr. Aird specifically noted in his congressional testimony that the PFPL was going to give the force of law to those local officials who, although China may declare to the outside world, the Central Committee may declare to the outside world that, oh, no, no, these forced procedures never occur anymore. But at the local level, the law is written so vaguely and gives such broad discretion to these local officials that it is, in fact, on the rise now, but it's simply cloaked in this doublespeak, as Dr. Yard referred to it. And the BIA never addressed that. They never considered whether that evidence had not been available at the time of Ms. Dong's initial proceedings, either at her, you know, at the absentia hearing or at her later motions to reopen, but instead simply declared, well, the births of her two children are is not an occurrence outside the country. That is a change of personal circumstances arising here. And of course, we concede that there's never been a claim that. That was anything other than a change in Ms. Dong's personal circumstances. But the BIA, for whatever reason, latched onto that and did not consider the evidence of what is occurring in China as it was supposed to and as it was required to. And its brief statement simply was insufficient under the prevailing law to merit an affirmance in this court.
Remind me in that ART affidavit, the timing of the situation in China. What time period did he cover in terms of?
Much of it is admittedly focused in the 80s and 90s, but the affidavit that is submitted in the record does discuss the 2004 and 2002, the most recent country reports and the most recent profile by the Department of State, which purported to refute any fear of persecution by Chinese nationals. That affidavit does discuss these later publications by the Department of State and does note that those documents principally rely on claims by the Chinese government that they're not engaging in any persecution, and that's hardly surprising. And so I would ask that the court vacate the decision of the BIA.
Thank you. Mr. Reese? Or is it Rise? Reese.
May it please the court, my name is Christopher Reese for the United States Department of Justice. This court should deny this petition for review for two reasons. First, the board did not abuse its discretion because the evidence submitted did not demonstrate that country conditions had materially changed such that the petitioner now possesses a well-founded fear of future persecution. Secondly, the board did not abuse its discretion because in the exercise of due diligence, the evidence could have been presented at an earlier proceeding. Petitioner failed to satisfy the standard required to warrant an exception due to changed country circumstances to the 90-day filing deadline for motions to reopen. This is because the evidence she submitted at most demonstrated that the circumstances that the petitioner alleged in her initial 2001 petition persisted. No material change had occurred. As this court held in the Zhao case, cumulative evidence that conditions inserted in an original application persisted is not evidence of changed circumstances. Without a material change, an applicant cannot relitigate his claim. The petitioner tries to point to the 2002 Population Family Planning Law as evidence of changed circumstances, and more specifically, a letter from the petitioner's parents that notes there was a law passed in 2002 and that forced sterilizations still occur in the Fujian province, and in particular in the petitioner's neighborhood. But in 2001, the petitioner asserted that those forced sterilizations occurred. The petitioner tries to support this letter with reports from AIRD and the State Department. As the board stated in their opinion, weighing those two pieces of evidence against one another, the State Department reports support that conditions have not only not worsened under the PFPL, but they've possibly improved. Those reports, cited by both AIRD and the State Department, note that the PFPL prohibits coercion and use of force. However, in the outlying areas, coercive measures may still exist.
And wasn't that AIRD's point?
That was AIRD's point also, is that coercive measures may still exist, but the board did not abuse its discretion. The board rationally decided that even though coercive measures may still be in existence after the Population Family Planning Law was implemented, by no means had they worsened. And even AIRD's testimony does not support that they had worsened, At most, Aird says the population family planning law may ban coercive measures in the short term, but the long-term effects are unknown. The board's decision was also rational because the evidence presented could have been presented earlier. This is the petitioner's fourth chance to make her case. She originally did not appear for her hearing in 2001 and has since tried to reopen her case three times, most recently in 2003. Most of the evidence she submitted was available prior to 2003, and based upon the fact that her original application protested the coercive family planning measures in China, she should have been cognizant of many of the pieces of evidence that she submitted now back in 2003. As this court held in the Lin case, a motion to reopen should not be granted unless the evidence presented could not, by the exercise of due diligence, been discovered earlier. The relevant question for the Board of Immigration Appeals when it considers a motion to reopen based on new evidence is not whether that material was available at the time of the hearing before the immigration judge, but whether it was available before the board itself rendered a final decision in the case. The last time the petitioner appeared before the board was August 27th of 2003, before the birth of her first child. All of the evidence, except for the 2004 Aird affidavit, predates that hearing. More importantly, as Judge Williams noted, all of the evidence that Aird discusses in that 2004 affidavit predate the 2003 hearing. Therefore, all of the evidence that petitioner presented at this time could have been presented earlier. In summation, the board made a rational decision. They did not abuse their discretion in determining that the evidence did not establish that a change of country circumstances had occurred. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Moore, how much time? 3 minutes. Mr. Moore.
Thank you. The evidence presented does not declare that simply the conditions have persisted, but rather that they have worsened. A deterioration of country conditions, even if it is of similar circumstances, but if it shows that the situation in an applicant's country is getting worse and, in fact, increases the likelihood that he or she would be persecuted, the board itself, in the case of Matter of JJ, declared that would justify a motion to reopen. Ms. Dong does not claim that things have stayed the same in China. She has explicitly stated, as well as her evidence has supported her contention that conditions in China have gotten worse, such that she now reasonably fears persecution and sought to file a successive asylum application. Moreover, the PFPL does not outlaw the use of force. Neither the State Department's country report nor Dr. Aird claim that. The country report states that there is a central government policy which prohibits the use of force. However, as Dr. Aird noted in his testimony before Congress, the PFPL lacks an explicit prohibition on the use of forcible procedures of any kind, but instead, as noted earlier, merely says the rights of citizens shall be protected. The Department of State, in its country reports, notes that's rather vague language that has no follow-up. There's no declaration of what those rights are. And indeed, the Department of State notes the only response the central government ever has when these incidents occur is a rather strongly worded letter to the officials responsible. Which clearly indicates, as Dr. Aird warned and later discussed in his affidavit, the PFPL was a wink and a nod to local officials that forcible procedures would be tolerated, and as a result, they have increased. And therefore, the respondent has demonstrated a change of country conditions such that her motion to reopen is not bound by the time and numerical limitations and meets that exception. Both statutory and regulatory, and the BIA should have given full consideration to the evidence presented before rendering its decision. For that reason, I again ask the court vacate the decision below and remand these proceedings.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and we'll call the third.